It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. My sweet mama is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins. How are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing good. Doing great. Fantastic.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. Or you can post it to our Facebook page. And we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Or you can get a pen and piece of paper. Get ready. You can text it to our prayer and praise line.
I love it.
At 580-485-0837. 580-485-0837.
Awesome.
We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all.
You amaze me.
What'd you pray to start us out?
Let's do. Let's just pray to get this thing rolling. Let's pray together. Father God, we love you so much. And Lord, as we come into your time today, as we come into your presence today, we ask, Lord, that you just begin a process of saturation. Lord, that you'll saturate our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit. And Lord, speak to us today. Give us guidance today. Give us an inspiration today to move forward for your glory and for your kingdom. Let all things be to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
I like your title this morning, A Good Soldier.
You know, it's something that I've been thinking about lately, and it's different things that I've heard about. Just to kind of springboard into this today, just to kind of let you guys know where I'm coming from. I'm seeing so many Christians that are bombarded by so many different things. It just seems to be like the battle is no longer just out in the distance. And what I want to talk about being a good soldier for Jesus Christ, I've got to mention the battles that are going on around the world. I got to mention the literal physical battles that are at force. I don't want to go into details about all the things that are happening in another part of the world. And it's not always spiritual battles either. I could spend quite a bit of time this morning talking about the spiritual battle that's at play, the spiritual battle that's at hand, the spiritual battle that's coming against us. There's just battles. There are authors that have written book after book, and I found it amazing when I searched this out just a little bit, how many books are written about spiritual battles, or the battles in your mind, the battles in your heart, the battles in your soul, the battles in your spirit. All these different battles that are taking place. And it just sinks into my heart today to know that so many people are battling. But the thing that hurts the most, the thing that really grabs my attention, are how many people that are, they're not going to like this name, but here it goes, that are name tag Christians only. They say that they're a Christian, but there's no evidence. There's no walk with the Lord. There's no proof. There's no testimony. They want to live underneath the guard of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is there for everybody who loves everybody and wants to be there. And I'm not trying to be discredited. I don't want to discourage anyone, but there's so many people that want to live just under the blood, but they don't want to live with a walking testimony of the Lord. And it's not just a spiritual battle or just a physical battle. It is a full force battle at hand. The thing that bugs me, let me get my mind back. The thing that bugs me the most are the ones that are the name tag Christians, and they're losing the battle. They're losing. They don't want to walk away from God, but they will tell you, and I've heard this past month so many times. These are their words, and I quote, "Brother Kevin, I just didn't have a choice. Brother Kevin, there was just nothing else I could do. Brother Kevin, I just can't get that. Brother Kevin, I just can't make that work. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Don't quit now. Don't walk away now. Don't stop now. And if I could say anything at all today that you would listen to me, I would tell you, if you know Jesus Christ, don't walk away from him.
Come on.
Don't walk away from him. If you ever heard of it, ever known about it, ever been invited to church, don't use those excuses that say, well, I got hurt, or well, I was offended, or well, I did this, or well, I did that, or I can't understand the Bible, or I don't like to read. Listen, there's so many different ways out there. If you know of, or if you know Jesus Christ, do not walk away from him. You must endure to the end. We are in the final stages of this battle, and we've got to say, true, we are strong. We can make it. I believe this. I believe the Bible teaches us. I believe the Bible stands with us. I believe I could prove it over and over again from Genesis to Revelation, the guidance, the direction of the Lord. We will be stronger if we stay together. We will be more vital to the enemy we will be more vengeance to the enemy, more vital to God, if we stay together. You can't do it alone. There is no such thing as a lone ranger in Christianity. Even Jesus himself had 12 guys that followed around with him all the time. They stayed together. So I want to talk to you this morning just about a lesson that Paul gave one of his teachers, one of his leaders, one of his converts, one of his disciples. I mean, you could go through the whole list, okay? Paul was using Timothy, and he told Timothy in the second letter to Timothy. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we want to go today. And I want to give you just a little insight of what Paul was saying to this young man who was a pastor of a church. You can look at it that way. He was leaders of small groups. You could look at it that way. He was a witnessing tool on the streets of where he was. He was powerfully influencing others around him. Anything that it was, he was also a worker. He was a common man. Timothy was just somebody who said, I've got to call a God on my life and I got to go do this. I'm going to pastor a church, but I'm going to do work in the marketplace and I'm going to keep busy. I have had so many people tell me, you're just too busy. You need to slow down. You need to quit this. You need to quit that. Quit that. And I said, you know what? When I lived in the world, I never slowed down. When I lived in the world, I gave God 150% of everything about my time. I mean, I gave the world 150%. Now that I'm going for Christ, I want to give Christ 150% of my time. I want that to be the fullness. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verses 1 through 3 to begin with. And then I've got a lot of other scriptures I'm going to share with you. And hopefully I'll calm down just a little bit. I always get excited when I start preaching. I can't help it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, you therefore. Now I need you to put your name in there, okay? Just label that. He's talking to you. He's not talking to Timothy. He's talking to you. You therefore, my son. My son just simply means I've adopted you in. You have accepted Jesus Christ. You believe like I believe. We are together in this, all right? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I would give a highlight right there and say, folks, remember grace. Stop trying to judge everybody. Remember grace. Stop trying to evaluate them to see if they're good enough to fit into your Christian mold. Remember grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. I love that. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses. Let's get this whole bundle together. Let's get the whole group together. We're going to be stronger and mightier if we'll pull our forces together. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Don't be just somebody that holds all the knowledge. Start teaching somebody to teach others. Did that make sense? Start teaching somebody to teach others. Train up teachers, people that are able to teach. Then look at verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When I got to that part, I was wondering, does Timothy have any background or knowledge of being a soldier? Is there any information that tells us that? And there's not. There's nothing that says that he ever went to war or he ever fought in a battle. He's not a warrior, not a soldier. So why was Paul using this analogy to talk to a young man about being a good soldier? Timothy had to have something in his background. Timothy himself was not, but Timothy's father was. So Timothy's the son of a soldier. Wow. And he's looking at this past and he's saying, I watched my dad go to war and come back alive. I watched my dad go to battle and fight the battles, come back wounded. My dad go into the battle again and again. The thing that Paul uses is the word, you must endure this hardship like a good soldier. He points it out to us that there is something very important about the need of this. But Paul also adds a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus worth fighting for? Did you know that a majority of people, and it's a high percentage, it's like an 85% of people, they give up and die when they have nothing else to live for. That's when they quit. The average age or the average number in the nursing homes, it says when they give up, when they're not visited by family, when nobody comes and sees them, they get discouraged when they see somebody come visit somebody else down the hall or somebody else, but they say, nobody's coming for me, and they give up hope, and they have nothing to live for, and it's not very long after that until their health deteriorates, their life deteriorates, and they give up. Fight for Jesus. You have something to fight for. You have something to live for. You have a cause. You have a reason to express and proclaim this glorious, glorious evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ living in your life. It is something that should be so powerful. You should be able to thank God that he gave us Jesus just so we have the reason to live for this one called Jesus. The one to fight for is this one called Jesus. Jesus does bring the healing. This is where I would love it if I was looking at a big congregation. But today, with two or three together, Jesus is in the midst of us. Amen. But think about this. Have you ever had Jesus heal you? Do you know it was Jesus that healed you? You know. It wasn't because of a random medication that began to take place. No, it was Jesus that touched you. You ever have that happen? Absolutely. If you're listening, if you're watching, say amen in the chat down there below, you know, in the comments. Amen. Put in yes, amen, whatever. Think about it. Have you ever been healed by Jesus? Have you ever been delivered by Jesus? Has Jesus ever got you? Let's see if I can word this right. Have you ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time, but by some form of miracle, you know you got out of there at just the right time. You got away from there at just the right time. You got past that at just the right time. You were delivered by Jesus, and now you give him the glory. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yep, been there. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. You got a reason to fight for. Has Jesus ever helped a friend of yours? Has Jesus ever helped your memory? Has Jesus ever been there to comfort you, to console you, to lift you? Have you ever felt Jesus' hand touch your shoulder? Have you ever been in that place? Then he's a reason to fight for. Let's fight for him. Let's give the word. Let's testify. Let's share the testimony. Don't just be a name tag Christian that says, well, I believe in him, but I don't have any evidence and I don't have any testimony. Start fighting for Jesus and watch the testimony come to your life. Come to your life. When Paul says, I want you to be a good soldier for Jesus, a good soldier of Jesus Christ is his words. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it comes with four different marks on your life. I'm not military. I admire those that have gone into the military, any branch of the military, whatever the levels. And so please, I'm asking, if you're a veteran today, don't grade me on my military awareness or knowledge. I don't have that. But I am aware that there are certain things in the military that take place that Paul understood very clearly. He understood what it meant to salute a superior officer, which is quite amazing within itself. He also understood ranks in military. I don't know if they were, oh boy, here goes the knowledge. I don't know if they were generals, colonels, lieutenants, captains, and I don't know if those ranks are, don't grade me on that. I'm just saying different ranks. I don't know if Paul understood that, but when he's talking about be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he's saying there are marks that mark you to where you're a good one or a bad one. You're either a leader, you're following, you're growing, you're increasing, you're ranking up, or you're just staying status quo. Now, one of the ranks that I understand, general is a high rank, corporal is a low rank. General, corporal. We've got a lot of Christians today that are satisfied being corporals when God has called them to be generals.
Come on.
But they won't step up into that position to be a general because of fear, because of anger, frustration, because they've been hurt, they've been wounded, because, and they don't like hearing this, but this is the truth, because they don't really want to fight for the one who has saved them or cleared them out. If we could get that tenacity back inside of us that says, I'm going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, I'm going to fight. I'm not worried about my rank. I don't care what stars are on my shoulders or on my hat. I'm going to fight for Jesus Christ. I'm covered by his blood. I'm covered by my peers. I'm going to fight for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you some of the ranks. Let me tell you some of the marks that indicate whether you are a good soldier for Jesus Christ or whether you're just sitting down on the bottom of the pile. Okay? Here's rank number one. A good soldier of Jesus Christ is without a doubt a follower of Jesus Christ. If you truly want to rank up, if you truly want to be that superior officer, you want to be that general that God has called you to be, number one, you must follow Jesus Christ. Follow him. Jesus said this in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. He says this, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How come we forget that? Why are we so often at the place to where we say, no, I know of him. No, I know his name, but I haven't read his word in a long time. I haven't listened to his word in a long time. I haven't been to church in a long time because I got used to setting out. I watched it live for quite a while, but now I don't even do that. Now I've got a new routine on Sunday morning. I like to get up and cook pancakes for the family, and we just have a great family day, and we just chill out. We don't ever get together. You know, the Bible tells us over and over again, do not forsake the assembling. It tells us over and over again, come together with others of like precious faith. It tells us over and over again, partner up, join up. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in the presence, in the midst of them? Did he really mean if there's just two or three? Yes, he really meant if there's just two or three. But everything Jesus teaches us, everything that he shows us, is that if you've got two or three that are really following after him, it won't be long until there'll be four or six. It won't be very long until there's eight or 12. It won't be very long. Just keep going, all right? Y'all add the numbers up. I don't have to prove a mathematician to you. Just do it. Follow after him. No one can be an advancing general, an advancing rank. No one can be a good leader if they are not first willing to follow. Mark it down, write it down, put that in your notes. You cannot ever be a good leader if you're not willing to be a good follower. I'm going to say it a different way, probably several times. I want you to get this. You cannot be that leader that God wants you to be if you're not willing to first follow the leader that's above you. There's so many people today want to just jump out and say, no, I'm a leader for God. This is going to make somebody mad, but I'm not going to apologize for what I'm about to say. Just apologize if it hurts you. There's people that jump out and say, I'm a prophet of God. Who made you a prophet of God? Who'd you follow before you? How can you be a prophet of God if you weren't following a prophet already? How do you know if you're not under that teaching, if you're not underneath that training? How can you get into that? It's not just spontaneously popped out. It's not everyone in the Bible, every one of them, even Jesus. You say he didn't sit under teaching. Really? He knew everything about the Old Testament. Well, it just came to his knowledge. He's just powerful. He's just all-knowing. That's just the way that he was. Yes. And it took him 12 years to get to the place before he ever entered into the temple. Even Jesus took 12 years before he entered into the temple. Could have he done it at 2? I don't know. It took him 12 to get there. Think about those things just a little bit. If you're not willing to follow, you won't ever be a good leader. If you're not willing to follow, you won't ever be a good leader. Follow those who are above you. Follow those who God has put in your path to follow. Follow those. You know, I'm just going to add a little note right here. This is just something that I really wish that people would grab a hold of and start understanding. And that is the knowledge of God calling individuals into ministry. And they call them into ministry. Those that are called don't just automatically step onto a platform behind a microphone and start leading. They have to go through training. They have to go through teaching. There's a process that they got to go through. But if God has sent somebody through the training and through the teaching and then places them in your path to where you sit under them, follow them. Listen to them. Find out what God's called them to be, what God's called them to do, and follow after that. Follow them and watch God put a whole group of people together who is their own little army so they can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See how that makes sense? How great that is. Following Jesus, it's not an option. Well, I choose not to. God gives us free will, and that is one of the biggest problems when people are these name tag Christians and they choose to follow Jesus on Sunday morning between a couple of hours, but then on Monday they choose totally different path, or they choose to follow Jesus on an evening time for their service or their small group order, but then on the next day, they're totally different people. No, it's a command to follow Jesus. It's not that it's an order placed on some kind of carry-out restaurant. It's a command by Jesus that says, take up that thing that bothers you. Take up that thing that you've died on. Take up that part of your life and live for Jesus. Follow Jesus, commit to Jesus, and stay committed to Jesus. So one of the first way to rank up is to make that decision to say, I'm fighting for Jesus. I'm going all the way. And so the second rank that I want to tell you about is the word that I've already been using all along, and it is fighting for Jesus. Fighting. I want to talk to you about fighting. Fighting's not a verbal confrontation. It is more than the verbal confrontation. Fighting is more than that. It is something that is deep down inside of you, something that you'll walk away from a verbal confrontation and still remain holy and righteous before God, and not allowing that confrontation to make you sin or to get angry to plot and plan how you can get revenge. And that, I know, that's what so many of us do. And all my fingers are pointing back at me. We get in a verbal confrontation and then we walk away going, man, I should have done this. I should have done that. Or they're going to, boy, they better be glad I didn't do this or do that. And if I ever see them again, I'm going to let them, you know, no, stop. 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 Let it be known that you train yourself in verbal confrontation to say, how's that working for you? The Lord loves you. The seed's still in you. May God bless you. Have a great day. I've got to go. I need to leave. I got to get away from this. Think of those things. And then when you walk away, do not allow the enemy to engage battle with your thinking process. Fight. Fight it. Fight it. Oh, man, fight it. If you give in just a little bit, anger will start rising up from deep down inside. And if it raises up from your heart, it's going to enter into your mind. And if that anger ever gets into your mind, you're going to start plotting and planning. The Bible says what's buried down in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mind. And if you allow it, if you allow just a little, it's so hard to stop it. So practice. Plan it. 1 Timothy, this is Paul talking to Timothy the first time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Why do we make so light of that one verse of scripture? 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Then let your faith override. But I'm angry, but God loves me more. But I'm angry, but Jesus died for me. But I'm angry, but I have love in Christ. But I'm angry, but I'm going to love my neighbor. But I'm angry, but I'm going to forgive them 70 times 7. But I'm angry. Let your faith come up. Let your faith begin to arise. The Greek New Testament word for fighting suggests letting up. It suggests putting it into a mode which means I command the suggestions. The word fight in Greek deals more with the process of thinking and taking control of your thoughts more than it means to put on gloves and go to fight, or to draw a sword and cut off an ear. Or I'm trying to use these simple illustrations. The Greek word for fight is suggested more for an emotional, mental grasp of things than it is for actually, oh, cowboy analogy keeps coming to my head. Then I'm thinking high noon on the street, draw the guns and shoot. You know what I'm saying? And I got to be careful saying those kind of analogies these days. But really, that's what the word means. When Paul says fight the good fight of faith, he's saying get a hold of your thoughts. Get a hold of what you're thinking. Think about things that are accurate. Think about things that are true. Think about things that are worthy. Think about things that are praiseworthy. Think on these things. Don't get tied up in why they made you mad, or how you could get even, or what they said, or trying to analyze why would they even say that. People, there used to be a TV show that says kids say the wildest things. People say the dumbest things. Sorry, but that's what it is. People just say the dumbest things because they let their mouth engage before their brain engage. Don't be victim to that. If you're going to be a good soldier and you're going to rank up, then learn how to fight. And you fight with your mentality, not your physicality. You fight with your mind, not your fist. You fight with your mind, not your words. That's the hardest one for us to learn. You don't fight with your words. Words fall on the ground. They're unfruitful. They're unworthy. As a good soldier of Christ, if you really want to rank up to the next level, learn to fight with your mind. Be kind. Be gentle, be loving, be caring, be joyful. Let the Spirit ride inside of you, okay? Amen. Whew. Amen. This is a good place for us to break.
Okay, good place to break. Okay. We have a few prayer requests. First one is for Joe Pyatt.
Yes,
Had the stent replaced in his kidney this morning.
Yep.
And so they will be heading home today. So if pray for fast healing, complete and fast healing, and then safe travels for their ride home.
Yes, amen.
And then also pray for TC.
Okay.
She wants to get clean and sober.
Okay.
She really needs to get to know Jesus.
Amen.
And then let's pray for my friend Jimmy.
Okay.
And that's all I can say about that.
Okay. I can do that. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray first of all for Joe Pyatt today. Father God, I come before you now. Here's a man faithful to your work, faithful to your kingdom. Faithful, Lord. We're talking about good soldier today, and this is a good soldier of the Lord. And Father, we pray today for healing in this kidney, the stent that's been placed in, the other process procedure that has taken place beforehand. We still need that to really engage and begin to heal. Lord, we pray for Joe right now, Lord, that you will touch his body and let his faith bring forth healing into him even now as we pray. Lord, we do pray safe travel on the highway back and forth, the journey that it takes to go do this. Lord, allow your blessing. Keep them awake and alert. It was very early this morning when they left, and it'll be later this afternoon as they travel home. So, Lord, please be with them and keep them awake and alert. Father, I pray for TC right now. Lord, I pray for a cleaning sober. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if there is a decision or a manipulation that causes her to try one more type of drug, one more type of element, one more type of anything, oh Lord, that would influence her system, I pray that it does not work. And I pray, Lord, that you will put a sustaining order on that, that it will not be effective to her system. But Lord, I also pray that you will send angels by right now of messengers, Lord, holy messengers to come by to share with her the word of faith, the changing of faith, the direction of faith, and let it be made whole to her this very day, Lord, to change her life. Jesus, let your name be known in her mind. Let your name be heard in her heart. Let your name arise in her life today to be victorious and conquering in all. all stages. Lord, I pray this prayer not only for TC, but I pray it also for my other friends, Lord, for many that are out there today. Lord, if they're listening to me or if they get this message, I pray, Lord, that you will touch them, heal them, deliver them from the plots of the enemy that have come up, that have stricken into their life, that have caused addictions to change into them. Lord, break those addictions off with a simple name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, the holy name of Jesus. Let it be so this day, Lord. Set them free in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for Jimmy right now. Lord, whatever he's going through, whatever he's facing, Lord, I pray that his eyes see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that his heart realizes who truly is the Alpha and Omega of his life. And Lord, I pray for an encampment of holy angels around him this day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.